Are you a member of a loyalty program? Is it eBucks, Voyager Miles, UCount, Discovery Miles, Greenbacks, Avios, Smart Shopper, Bonvoy, or Skywards? Whether it's a bank, retailer, or even a restaurant, do you believe you're getting the maximum value out of yours? Are there even better ones out there that offer you more cash back or better points? Welcome to What's the Point, the podcast about loyalty programs and how you can maximize your rewards. And now, here's your host, Ilan Ressel.
Welcome to What's the Point. This is not a very important podcast at all. It's only about two things, you and your money. So, I say that facetiously because those are actually two pretty important topics, and they kind of go together whether we like it or not. So, the reason for starting this podcast is because I have a bit of an obsession. And after telling you about some of the results that I've had, you might understand why I have this obsession. It started a couple of years ago when I heard about this word or this phrase that I thought, what is that? And it's called being a travel hacker. Now, it's nothing illegal or anything. It really just means somebody who really knows how to utilize loyalty programs to be able to fly for really, really cheap, or alternatively, to be able to fly in business class and first class, which is most people's dreams, especially if you are living like most middle class people, trying to earn a salary, pay your bills, and try and have a holiday at the end of the year. So I was intrigued, and I started reading more and more about what these travel hackers had done and how they did it and what they did. And I started to realize that it wasn't just an understanding of one airline's frequent flyer program, but it might be a connection or a layering, if you can picture things on top of one another. And what I came to learn later was called stacking. And the way that people stacked and were very creative in how they managed their everyday ordinary spend, they were able to generate enormous amounts of airline or hotel or frequent flyer kind of miles and points to be able to do extraordinary things, things that even if you had a lot of money, you wouldn't be able to do. And I started delving more and more into this. And I came across the name of this one guy. I think this is kind of how it all started, really, with hearing about this guy named Chris Gilbo. He's an American guy, a very soft-spoken, awfully humble kind of person. And yet he was one of the youngest people in the world, if not the youngest person ever in the world, at the age of 35 to visit all 226 countries and territories around the world. That's unbelievable. And I thought, 35? My God, how many people have actually done that? We all live on this planet. We all know that there's more than one little city, one little country that's on the planet. And we know how exciting it can be to see a new place and discover new things, new sights, new sounds, new smells, new people, new food, new culture. And yet, you know, if you think about it, how many places, how many different cities would you say, or countries would you say that you were more than likely to visit in your lifetime? Maybe it's five. Maybe if you live in South Africa, maybe you stay in Joburg. You might go to Durban, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, maybe the Kruger. Okay, that's five different places. You often find that there's many people in South Africa that actually haven't even been to all the cities within their own country. And it is an unbelievable shame because there's people that come from all over the world. They want to come and see what's in South Africa, and they don't just want to see one place. They go to multiple places and they end up seeing more than we do, even though we live right here. And I think that I really highly regard travel because it's something that I think is something that's always had a bit of a bite in me to be able to see more, to do more, to think about different things and see things from different perspectives. So I started reading up about Chris Gilbo. And strangely enough, around the same time, a friend of mine in the States told me, hey, have you heard of this website called creativelive.com? And what Creative Live does is they have people who have very interesting subjects and they teach live. It's a live broadcast and it usually happens around lunchtime US time. So it's kind of evening time, South African time, which works out great. And what they do is they broadcast these lectures on different things and it's free. And while it's going on, there might be so much content in it that you think, oh man, I really wish I had a recording of this. Well, good news, they sell you a recording of it if you want, but you don't have to, obviously. So I thought, nah, I'm not going to, I'll just remember everything that gets said and I'll, you know, I won't purchase the things. And also, of course, it's, if you purchase the course in video form, then you get it at a reduced rate. If you decide later, like, oh man, I missed that thing, or you just hear about it now, you go onto the site and you say, I want to purchase that course, then you purchase it, but it's a little bit more expensive than if you had purchased it when it was being broadcast live. Anyway, long story short, I go and I decide to attend the course. And after a few minutes, my mind starts getting blown. And I think, how on earth have these people done this kind of thing? And would it, not only that, but okay, it sounds great in America that you could do it, but could you do it in South Africa? Would it be possible to take advantage of multiple loyalty programs and be able to have experiences and holidays and all kinds of things that happen almost for free? Can you imagine that? So that's what my motivation was for watching this broadcast. And as I said, after a few minutes, I started getting my mind blown. So I thought, I've got to get the recording. So I bought it, and it was probably about 300 Rand. And best 300 Rand I think that I've ever spent in my entire life. Because it wasn't so much as what he said, but I realized you didn't have to be a really gregarious, outgoing kind of person. Chris is incredibly quiet and reserved, and yet he's been to every single country and territory on the earth. And that is just an amazing, well, some places more than once. This is all just visited them all, ticked them all of his visit list by the age of 35. He was older than that now, and he was giving this talk. And I learned so much. I learned, he said, they even had a break while they were doing the live broadcast. And he said, I want you all to go out now in the break. Your challenge is, can you go out and create 1,000 points, generate 1,000 points in any program in the break? And then it was like a 10-minute break. And I thought, no ways. How can somebody get 1,000 points in the next 10 minutes? And then I started saying, geez, I wonder how they did it. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't possible. And many of them went out and they did that, because there were a large number of points with certain programs just for joining them. You get like a bonus welcome number of points. There were other programs that you could follow them on social media and that would generate you points. I mean, how easy would that be? So I started thinking more and more, like, wow, if you can create that many points, what are those points worth, first of all? I like, you know, it's no use having 1,000,000 points and they're not worth anything. But what could you do with those points? And then he started unpacking it and saying, this is how it's possible, how you could actually travel around the world. You could literally go to every single continent for starters, and then maybe every country after that. And I just started going, wow, this is unbelievable what can happen. And Chris, I remember the sort of the final thing that he said that really struck home with me and sunk into my brain was, your world is never going to be the same after hearing what I have to tell you. And that was just so true, because we have had some unbelievable experiences for a small percentage of what you would normally spend. And we don't do it to be able to post awesome Instagram photos and videos, although we have those too. But that's not the reason why we do it. We do it for our experiences, because, you know, you can have a lot of money, but, you know, you can't buy experiences. So having lots of things that you can purchase with money, great, but it's not the things that are important or that you remember when you're lying there reflecting back on your life. I think that it's the places that you went, the things that you did, the experiences that you had, that's what really makes somebody have a rich, fulfilling life. So that's why I said this is all about you. And the other thing I said, it's about your money, because that's kind of the reason that most of us get up in the morning and go to a place other than the place where we live. Because we need money. We need to work. We need to work hard for that money, hopefully, and honestly. But a lot of different things can happen once you've got the money in your possession, and then it needs to go out. Because there's so many different ways that you can pay for things. Some things that I'm going to introduce you to are things that are going to blow your mind, because you had no idea that these things existed. And quite frankly, neither did I until I started looking for them and discovering them. And that's why I'm sharing this with you, because there's only one thing I wish more than being able to travel all over the world for free. That would be to do it with friends and people that I really like. So I hope that, yeah, maybe some of my friends who have been watching us have this kind of pretty incredible lifestyle because of what it is that I'm going to explain and share with you. Maybe some of them are going to say, hey, you know, that's amazing. Let me do some of those things too and discover my own things. And maybe in time they'll be able to put some information out of things that they've done. Maybe they'll start a blog or a vlog or something or a podcast of their own, and they'll be able to put information out of things that they discover. That way we're all sharing with one another and things just get better and better. So that's the reason for having this podcast. It's there to really expose you to all the amazing things that are out there and that continue to be brought out all the time. Frankly, my wife says it's like the modern day way of collecting stamps. She thinks it's kind of, nerdy, boring, I don't know. But I love putting sort of steps and things in place that just generate automatic rewards that can benefit me and my family forever. So if I explain how the basic concept works, you might need about a minute of history so that you can learn how these loyalty programs came into place. I don't know all the history, so I'm going to give you like a summarized version. In the States, one of the American carriers started a loyalty program trying to take people and make sure that they kept coming back to their airline. So they were the guys that invented this. Somehow in South Africa, many years later, we ended up knowing two real big things. One was Clicks Club Card Points. I think those everybody had that. They were really, really creative in how they brought that all out. And the second was SAA's Voyager program. Everybody was a member of Voyager. So everybody had those two programs. There wasn't a person alive who didn't have those two cards in their wallet or something. And the interesting thing is that, believe it or not, that is actually completely unusual for South Africa. An unbelievably overwhelming majority of people in South Africa, I'll get the exact figures for you at some stage, have more than one loyalty card in their wallet. How many have you got right now? I don't know how many I have, but you know, I don't have a million of them, but I certainly have a whole bunch. And in fact, I have different ones sometimes for different countries. So I know when I'm going to go and visit the UK, I have a little bit of a kind of a UK wallet, and I'll pull out my different cards and things that I would use in the UK. Now, of course, with mobile technology progressing in the way that it is, that's not really going to be a necessity to carry any of these cards at all with you going into the future. So I don't know how it went from two programs that most people were a member of to the unbelievable number of loyalty programs that we have today, where almost every single establishment, it's not just a store, it's a, you know, movies, it's sports warehouses, it's supermarkets, it's every single bank out there has some sort of a loyalty program. And I think what happened in South Africa is that eBucks was one of the big next ones that happened. And from eBucks, that was the first time I think that one of the banks really took this and ran with it. And everybody was talking about eBucks, you know, and when you've got such a cool name as that, and people didn't even, it became part of our South African vocabulary, right? The new eBucks word is e-wallet. You know, why didn't you e-wallet to me? They're brilliant at coming up with these names of products that are actually things that you can do, or they're nouns or verbs. It's amazing. And that was the one that really started saying, let's have some integrations, I think, right? And let's start integrating our program with other programs that are out there. And they started saying, hey, if you were an eBucks member but you shopped at this store, then guess what? You can also get eBucks for doing that. It's not just by using our establishment like us as a bank that you can generate eBucks. And so we started to realize that these things could be created and these loyalty points could be created all over the place, everywhere, for every single purchase. Or so we thought. We thought, ah, what a pity that we couldn't pay our car or our house or our transport or something. Pity we couldn't earn loyalty points on all of that. And so that's when things started changing. And there was this integration of loyalty programs together that made it so much more effective and rewarding if you took advantage of two or more programs together. And this is really what has been happening more so and more so and more so all the time. It's so important that the suppliers of the points, meaning the banks or the credit card companies in most cases, they are the ones who are now fighting over who is going to have partners with which other organization. And of course, sometimes the organization does sign up with both partners or both banks So you can get benefits from both, from either. But that's when they fight over percentages, over who gives their customers a 30% discount and who gives them up to a 35% discount. Wow, big deal. But it really does add up. And 5%, in fact, you'll find out in the series that even 1% can make a huge difference. 1%? Yes, if it's a percentage of a big enough original amount. 1% of a billion is a lot, right? So we're going to talk about how important it is to save different percentages and be able to utilize these programs most effectively so that you can really, with the same rand that you spend, you could be generating loyalty rewards in up to 5 different programs with that same 1 rand. If somebody's going to pay that 1 rand in cash to the establishment and miss out on 5 different loyalty programs, I'm sorry, but I have to have your head read. So the kind of points programs, I want to talk about the actual kinds of programs that there are. The first one is a loyalty point or mile kind of program. Now, I'm going to speak more specifically from a South African perspective because that's where we all live. But if you live in South Africa, then chances are you are with one of the big banks. There are 4 of them, and though there are some smaller ones which have started now, and who knows, maybe they'll end up being the big 5 or the big 3. Who depends on what really happens out there over the next couple of years, right? But there could be more and there could be less establishments that are really going to be able to offer us great value. So the first kind of points are the points that go straight into that program. And a really good example of something like this is Clicks Club points, right? So you generate Clicks Club points, and when you want to redeem them, you have to use them back at that establishment. And that is Clicks in this case. So they're really trying to encourage you to, or reward you to come back to their establishment. That's the first kind of point that you can generate. The second kind of point that you can generate is a point called a convertible point. And what that means is, if you earn, for example, e-bucks, e-bucks can be used in a multiple number of different ways. So you can use them at different establishments. It doesn't have to be back at the establishment that issued them to you, which in this case was F&B. Even something like Pick and Pay, although they have Smart Shopper points and most people would redeem those Smart Shopper points for purchases at Pick and Pay, you can actually get twice the amount of value almost if you had to purchase a burger at Wimpy with your Smart Shopper points. You can do that. So why wouldn't you do something like that? Quite often it's because you have no idea that that thing actually exists, that it's even possible. And I've just found that by being curious, I start to understand more and more opportunities of where one program can generate points that you can utilize in something completely different, which is amazing. I mean, if I told you a couple of these statements, right, if I said by doing your shopping for your normal groceries, you could be flying in a helicopter all over Manhattan in New York City, would you believe me? If I told you that filling up your car with petrol could allow you to fly in business class from London to Moscow and back again and have champagne for breakfast, would you believe me? If I had to tell you, my wife has got a massive diamond ring on her finger, which we paid for by ordering bags of ice from Uber Eats in Johannesburg. If I told you that, would you believe me? If I told you that paying for your medicine at the pharmacy would generate enough points for you to have a 3-course French lunch with wine and champagne while listening to live music sailing along the Seine River on a hot summer's afternoon in Paris with your whole family, would you believe me? If I told you that buying Red Bull would allow you to get free flights to Mauritius, would you believe me? So the points that you can generate that are convertible points are some of the most valuable points there are in the world. And more and more points are becoming convertible because certain programs link up with other suppliers and other providers that allow you to utilize the points in more than just one way. You also get cashback percentages for loyalty. Sometimes you get money off up front. Sometimes you get money back at the end of a process. And sometimes you simply get cash as a percentage of everything that you spend paid back into your account. Some people might be hearing that and think, cash? Oh, excellent. That's what I want. I want the money. Show me the real moolah. But I think what you'll find is that having cash is not really the greatest thing in the world. You can do a whole lot more with loyalty points than you can with real cash money. So what are my favorite kind of points? Definitely, I would say it depends. It depends what it is that you're trying to do. Some people really just want value from one place. They shop at one place. They're very loyal there, and they just want some sort of appreciation or a thank you. And simple points that give them vouchers to spend back at that establishment could be some of the best points there are. One of those really good points programs is actually Woolworths, because Woolworths has W Rewards, and W Rewards can be generated just by swiping your card whenever you make a purchase. But secondly, if you have a Woolworths credit card, and we'll talk lots about different credit cards and why some are better than others, but you, in addition to getting a percentage back, it's actually 3% of everything you spend at Woolworths and 1% of everything you spend outside of Woolworths, you get that back as money, as a voucher at the end of a 3-month period, so 4 times a year, and you can use this voucher only to shop at Woolworths. And that's an amazing, very cool benefit of that card. And I think that the 3% is quite generous and nice. But one of the coolest things about that card too is that by applying for the card, you automatically get VIP status, and that gives you 2 coffee vouchers as well as a taste magazine, and that's worth about 120 Rand. They give that to you every month. And you get free delivery for anything that you purchase online from Woolworths, which is a great benefit. Can you imagine just being able to order 1 or 2 things and having those delivered instead of, oh no, we can't do it because of the delivery fee? So free delivery. They also had a competition for signing up for that card at one stage, and maybe they will again, where you stood the chance to win 1 million rand just for signing up for the credit card. That's a pretty amazing prize. I would love to know if somebody actually won it, because it wasn't me, unfortunately. That was part of the motivation for me joining and signing up for that card. And secondly, the major thing was the free delivery on online orders. And in fact, strangely enough, we haven't made any online orders as yet, but it has definitely drawn us into Woolworths as a store far more often now, and literally changed our loyalty over to them because of their ability to offer a really good deal, great products, but also a good deal on the loyalty side of things. So that's definitely attracted us. But I'll talk about how we spend money in different stores and which cards we use and why we do that, so that possibly that could benefit you. So you really have to decide what it is that you want. You have to know what your final destination is. Mine was not just to save money. There's lots of ways to save money, and you can get things on sale, and you can line up like an idiot on Black Friday and buy 1 million things from Macro for the rest of the year. If you want to risk your life, go for it. That doesn't sound like a great, exciting thing for me. What I wanted to do was I wanted to travel, and I really wanted to be able to travel on the cheap. Not cheap as in fly on, you know, terrible airlines, but cheap as in I wanted to fly like I normally would, but I don't want to pay nearly as much as I would have to. I would like to start with 90% off and move upwards from there, right? So getting it for absolute free would be brilliant. And that's sort of like my main goal. I try to get to start off with that. If I can get paid to actually purchase something and get rewarded for that too, that's first prize. So once you know what it is that you want to do, is it travel? Is it save money? Is it get things for free? Is it get things that money can't buy? Then you have to understand or learn more about the different kinds of programs out there and see which one is the right one to be able to generate the most amount of value for you. Ultimately, only you can decide how much is enough, how much, you know, when I say, wow, that was a lot of money, or that was a lot of points. Well, when I say a lot of points, do you think, wow, 1,000 or 10,000, or do you think 1 billion? Really, there's no wrong answer. There's no right answer. It's just how big you think. Same thing as when I talk about a lot of money. I might think that saving 10% on a loaf of bread or a rand is pretty good going. You know, and some people might think, why worry about something as tiny and small as that? Well, sometimes when you worry about the small things, the big things happen. And sometimes I've pursued a path along a certain program and thought this could be good. It doesn't turn out to be good at all, but it opens me up to another possibility that ends up being amazing. So if you don't sometimes go down those small little wormholes, you don't discover the bigger caves that are hiding along the path over there. And those caves really have treasure in them. So my best advice is be curious, be inquisitive. Think of this as a 3D puzzle. That's how I like to see it. Because you're putting together pieces, but they're all fitting together with others in different dimensions. And if you can unscramble this puzzle, and hopefully I'm going to unscramble a lot of the ideas for you, but I'm pretty sure that someone's going to discover something even more amazing than everything I've already shared. And hopefully if you do, you'll come on my show as a guest speaker for an interview so we can find out what has happened for you as a result of having taken advantage of some of these ideas presented in this program. And that's my greatest hope, is that I will have almost an interview series of people and what they've done and how they've done it that keeps coming on to the show and really starts to expand the minds of those people who are listening. Maybe, you know, you're a single mom, or you're just a single person. You're a university student and you're trying to figure out, how can I make this work for me? I don't have a family of five or something and have all these expenses that you seem to have. That's okay. You know, you're going to figure out programs that are going to work for you and people like you, and you're going to share that with others. And so I really look forward to welcoming you all as guests. Take some of these ideas and apply them in your own lives and come back and share them with us and tell us about some of the amazing things that you've done.
That's it for this episode. Subscribe to our podcast for more exciting and informative episodes and learn how to maximize your loyalty rewards. Thank you for listening. Until the next time.
You've been listening to another episode from the Solid Gold Podcast Studios.